Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, November 9th, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we're welcoming back James Cameron to talk about Walt Disney World again, but this was a really different kind of trip for him. James and his wife were at Walt Disney World for the Type A Parent East Parent Blogger Conference. Welcome back to the show, James.
Thank you, Aaron. It's nice to be back.
So this is a different kind of trip. I mean, we've talked in the past with you about trips with the whole family, trips where you've gone down for a race, to run a race. This is really a different kind of trip again. You were there for the conference and then just sort of worked some Walt Disney World experience in with this conference, right?
Yeah, this has been a conference that my wife and I had been looking forward to, you know, going to at some point since we started our blog, you know, a few years ago. And a lot of the other, you know, bloggers that we network with had raved about this conference and what a great opportunity it was and how much they learned. And when we found out that they were having it at Walt Disney World, that just kind of sealed the deal.
Sure.
We're like, we got to get to this one. It's at Walt Disney World. It's like, you know, so we can get the conference, we get a little bit of Walt Disney World in, and so that's how it came to be. And so we booked it and we got to go down. And of course, they had, you know, we could have brought the kids, but we decided to leave them at home. We had my mother-in-law come and take care of them for a few days. So we could enjoy the conference and, you know, a little bit of the parks.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to do a conference when you've got kids in tow. I mean, I guess if it's type A parents, there are probably other folks who have kids around. But, you know, if you really want to focus on what's happening at the conference, it's hard to do that and manage having the kids along with you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and with the parent conference, they did have some kid events for the parents that brought their kids. And originally, when we were, you know, based on past conferences and what we knew of them, they have events like all throughout the day. It starts in the morning to the afternoon. They even have evening events. So we didn't know how much park time we were going to get. And as it turned out, because of, you know, whatever the logistics that, you know, was going on with the conference planning and being at Walt Disney World, they left a lot of time open in the evening for park time. And so we felt a little guilty about that once we found that out. But
right. It's interesting. You know, I guess it makes a certain amount of sense, right? When the conference is being held in the middle of a city somewhere, I guess they probably feel some obligation to provide, you know, entertainment opportunities to people who are at the conference. But when you're in the middle of Walt Disney World, you're kind of surrounded by entertainment opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that, you know, on Facebook, where they had a group of people and people were asking, you know, kept asking, hey, well, like, you know, there's Halloween parties going on. There is, you know, events going on. We're at Walt Disney World. And, you know, can we get a schedule so that we know how to, like, you know, work out our park time? And, you know, the organizers were just like, you know what, we're just going to say this night you're completely free. And then this night we have an optional kind of, like, you know, social gathering. And so you're free to do whatever you want to do on those nights. And so it left a lot more time than we thought.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you did. And before we get into the parks, I actually think it would be interesting because I know that we've got a number of folks who listen to the podcast and have participated in the podcast at various times who do have their own blogs or other, you know, they do other podcasting or other things. So I think if you could give us a little bit of sort of summary of things that you did at the conference itself that either you know, I guess just like when we talk about the parks, right? Things that stand out either way, things that were really cool and helpful, or you know, things that maybe didn't go at quite as you had hoped.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like, you know, the Type A Parent Conference, you know, brings bloggers, mostly parent bloggers and other like social media outlets together with different brands. And this way we can all learn from experts, people who are experts in social media and how to create content and share it. And then the brands come as well to kind of offer, you know, what they've got going on and mingle with us and see like where we can partner up to maybe help promote them, and they help, you know, give us content to create, and just kind of have this, you know, symbiotic, you know, relationship. And that's what we're looking forward to. And unfortunately, it kind of fell short in that respect. And I don't know, I've heard great things about past Type A conferences, and this was my first. So it was, didn't quite live up to the hype. Might have been a one-off blip.
It's interesting to me, because as you're going through all this, it almost makes me wonder if the same thing that got you excited about this particular conference is exactly what kind of got in the way. In other words, you know, because people weren't hanging with the conference for social time, I wonder if that is part of what, you know, sort of didn't attract as many vendors, right? Because the vendors didn't have the opportunities that they would normally have to interact with people informally, because people were going off to the parks.
And that might have been a big part of it. Exactly. So I think there was a unique situation being in Walt Disney World. So that might have been part of it. There was it seemed to be a little disorganization late. You know, we didn't get information in advance, and some veterans of the conference said this is not normally how it goes. So We'll see if that's a trend, or if that was maybe just a bad year, maybe.
Okay, but now there were at least some good things. What were some highlights of the conference itself?
The first highlight was definitely just meeting other bloggers and other people that we've only associated with online in the Disney community. And as you know, some of the listeners might not know, my wife and I, we have a blog. It used to be called Home is Where the Mouse Is, but we recently changed the name to reflect a broader content. Now we're Adventures in Familyhood. So that's adventuresinfamilyhood.com. And so it's not just Disney, but it's a lot of Disney, but it's also travel around the Northeast, especially where we live. And so we do a lot about that and things at home with our kids and family parties. And so that's what we blog about, and that's what we share. And so there was a lot of other people who do the same or similar things, and we got to meet them in person for the first time, and some for the second time or third time. So that was a great, it's great to be around those people in person, because it's just a whole different interaction when you can see somebody face to face.
Sure.
That was probably the first highlight. The second highlight for me was meeting fellow DizDad, and I can say that because he's officially a DizDad, Lou Mongello.
That's right.
Who is pretty big. He's got the Walt Disney World Radio. He does the podcasting, and he's got a lot of listeners. And he was there to share his experience and tell us all why we should probably get into podcasting.
Okay.
Ourselves, because it was like people don't always have time to read blogs, but they have time to listen to podcasts in the car, or while they're working out at the gym. And so you have to basically, if you want to reach people, you have to be where they're at.
Sure.
Was basically his point. And he had a lot of inspirational things to say, and it was good to get to talk to him for a while and get the obligatory DizDad's meetup picture.
Right. Very nice.
If we had been VIPs, we missed out on the Disney had, since they were hosting the conference at the Contemporary Resort, they took the VIPs who were there a night before we got there. They took them to a special after hours, Illuminations dessert party, which was during hours. And then after hours, they went on Soarin' and Frozen Ever After.
Oh, very cool.
So they got like a little special, got the park all to themselves for a little bit, to go on a couple of attractions. Had we known, maybe we would have splurged, but not a big deal. But the highlights are definitely the people, meeting Lou and learning a little bit more about what we're trying to do, and getting inspired to come back and create better content and write more and just how to share those things better with everybody so that they know where to find us and how to listen.
All right. Well, that sounds great. So that's the conference piece, but you also got to do some exploring at Walt Disney World. And the piece I think that, you were most excited to talk about was that you had a first time experience with Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Yes. When we found out there wasn't going to be any social event at night for the conference and that there was a party, we grabbed our tickets and pushed all the guilt of not taking the kids to the side. And we said, you know what, we're going to do it while we're there because we've never done it. We did Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party once and we totally screwed that up. So we were, like, you know what, we're going to do this right this time.
Okay.
So, so the conference allowed us, we were busy right up until about 4:30 and your park tickets, party tickets can get you in as early as 4:00. So we rushed back to our room and we got changed and we got into our costumes. We went all out with costumes. We were Jack and Sally and we went to the park and we got in and we were just blown away by everything that was going on. We had seen the Hollowish's fireworks the night before. We managed to see them from the balcony of the Contemporary, but they don't pipe the music through.
Right, right.
So we only got to see it. And we got there and immediately they kind of ushered us off to the side. Like our plan was to go get this, Sorcerer's of Magic Kingdom card, go hit the merchandise, go get something to eat. Cause these are all the things we did wrong the first time. It's like walked into the park and we spent an hour during the Christmas party walking around looking for a place to eat because nothing was open.
Yeah.
And we wasted all that time. So we were just like, you know what? Doesn't matter. It's like, we know we're going to hit Casey's. Because it's right there on the way, and we're gonna get hot dog and fries, and we're gonna find Jack and Sally and get online and get out of the way because we didn't get to meet any of the popular characters at the Christmas party. So that was our plan, but they kind of veered us off when we first walked in. They had the backstage area, which is all nicely done now. It's no longer a parking lot.
Oh, nice! So they've kind of fixed up what I always referred to as the back hallway.
Yeah, behind, on the chapeau side between the theater and the hat shop. They veered us off that way to get our treat bags and to do our first trick-or-treat stations.
Interesting. That's something new. I wonder if they were doing I hadn't heard about that. I wonder if they were doing that for all parties or if they were just doing it for those parties that were right before, because you were there would have been like the 27th, 28th in there?
Yeah, that was Friday.
Okay.
And
so it was right before Halloween. And those are, usually the busiest of the parties.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it wasn't a forceful. It wasn't like we had to go that way, but they were kind of being a little, pushy about it. We just went with it.
Sure.
And we were like, we'll go and we'll come out the other side and then we'll just, bring us right over by Casey's. So we'll just shoot across the street and get something to eat.
That's true.
So and I have to say, like this, we weren't planning on trick or treating until after we had gotten our must-dos out of the way. We figured we could save trick or treating till the end.
Right.
But they gave us our bags and you hit like a couple of spots of candy. And I have to say that, they give you a lot of candy. They're very generous.
Right.
And so we got, our first trick or treating out of the way and we went and got something to eat. And while we were getting something to eat, we just, we were like, all right, we're right next to the Emporium. We'll just jump inside and we'll see. Cause I had seen these hats all over the place that I wanted to get. They had these ear hats which had see-through, like transparent ears. The ear portion was transparent, but it had different parts of it lit up. And the first ones I saw were Star Wars. And I was like, we were online for, I think it was for Frozen Ever After, and I saw a Star Wars pair, and you saw a TIE Fighter, you saw an X-Wing, you saw the Death Star. In these ears, it just alternated as it flashed between these things. And I was like, I have to have those. And then the next one I saw was like a Frozen pair, which had like snowflakes and stuff. And so that's cool too. And then I saw one that had jack-o'-lanterns. in it for Halloween. And I said, that's the one I have to have.
Whoa. So every single one you looked at, it was like one step better each time.
Well, the Frozen, I could have, you know, I could have done it with, I don't think I needed that one. But the Star Wars and the Halloween one, those were, I was like, I have to get those. One of those pairs. Never found them.
Oh, no.
I mean, we went into the, like, and we were looking, like, maybe for, you know, like, my wife was dressed as Sally. She was looking for, like, you know, she didn't want to wear the wig, so she was looking, like, maybe they had a headband or something that would go with her outfit, but we didn't find that either. And then later, I would see one of our friends, her son, we met up with them, and he had a candy corn ear hat. It was all, had candy corns all over it, and right. Candy corn in the middle, and I was like, that's awesome, too, and I didn't find that anywhere. So the merchandise was hard to come by, and the zero popcorn bucket was on our list, and we never found it. And someone told me they thought they sold out of them. You know, this is one of the last Halloween parties because it's right before Halloween.
Right.
I think there was a party every night that weekend, and we just, you know, didn't have. I guess a lot of the merchandise was gone. So we got something to eat, and then we headed, we made a quick check of the merchandise, and then it was off to Jack and Sally, where we were told it was a 2-hour wait, but we only waited about probably like an hour and a half.
Okay.
So that was good. So in that first hour and a half to 2 hours of the party, we already were doing better than the Christmas party. Because we had something to eat, and we had seen one of the must-do character meets. And Jack and Sally were awesome. I mean, we were dressed as Jack and Sally, so getting to see them and the interaction was great. You know, Jack, you know, I was watching as all the people before us were going, and he was jumping out and, you know, kind of giving them like a little kind of scare and inviting them in. And so when he came out, he's like, oh, look, we have another, you know, Pumpkin King in training. And he's like, you're not going to try and take over, you know, my job. And I'm like, no, I just want to fill in for you while you're off at Christmas. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that's a great plan. So we're sitting there talking about the plan. Meanwhile, Sally's talking to Lisa. And then I hear, and then Jack and says to Sally, hey, like, you know, he's going to take over for me while I'm at Christmas. And she's like, no, you're not going to Christmas again. and so somehow she flips it on us. And she's like, he'll go to Christmas for you so you can stay. And Halloween, and he's like, just losing me, like, see what they do? They just, yeah, she turned it on us. And so it was really, yeah, so the interaction was great, and the pictures were awesome. And so we were able to, you know, to get that out of the way. It was something that we really, really wanted to do since we missed Jack and Sally at the Christmas party, because they're also at the Christmas party in their, in the Christmas get up. Right. And so from there, we had to, we went to the Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
Another must-do if you're at a Halloween party at the Magic Kingdom. Haunted Mansion has to be done at some point in time, and I have to say that the cast members really, really go all out. I don't know if when they make the switch, if they're like that all day long, but they're all like, you know, instead of just being in the cast member attire, they go all out with the face makeup and they look, oh, right. You know, and they, yeah, really look dead.
Yeah, they do. They do. They amp it up for the party. And I'm not sure when they do it. They must have a shift change somewhere around, you know, 3:30 or something.
Yeah, that's what I imagine that they do. Like, they must, you know, so I was wondering, yeah, I wonder when that takes place. If you can, so if you're on a party day, if you know it's a party night, if you can hit the Haunted Mansion before you're kicked out, before it officially starts at 7.
Right, right.
You know, before they say you can't go on the attractions anymore, you can get that experience. And then when we came back out of the ride, they had Madame Carlotta, a ghost from the mansion.
Cool.
Sitting on a bench out in front, outside, and just like, you know, telling stories and kind of heckling the people on the line, which is pretty cool. So we, like, you know, and she had just finished up when we came out, but then we got in line for our, you know, one of my other must-dos was getting the magic shot with the hitchhiking ghost. So while we waited for that, she came back out again. So we hung out and watched her. I got a little video of her. So I have to get that up on YouTube.
Yeah, that'd
so
be great.
Can check that out. Yeah, I got Hollow Wishes. That's already up. I got the Booty Parade. I still have to just edit together the Headless Horseman part so I can get that up online. And I'll put the segment that we got with Madame Carlotta up so you guys can watch it. So it was pretty cool. She was, very entertaining, and she was kind of funny. She had a lot of jokes, and would call out to people online and make comments, and then also talk about a little bit about her story. Inside, she claimed to be the ghost at that ballroom scene is her party. And if you look at the steps where the railway gave way, that's how she met her end.
Oh, okay. Tied herself back into the attraction itself, and you got the whole story out of it.
Yeah, which is really cool. How she was able to work that in, but also she was also present she was aware of the party going on around her. Like, she heard the parade music. We were skipping the first parade and had planned on seeing the second one when it was a little less crowded. So we heard the parade music, and she made some references to how the music gets stuck in your head.
Oh, okay.
And I can imagine for her, it's it's our first party, but how many parties has she seen?
Just a few.
So things were going well, and we had some friends who were all from the conference who had sent us a message saying they were back at the Seven Dwarves back in Storybook Circus. So we headed all the way back there, and the line wasn't that long for them, so we got to see the Seven Dwarves, which was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, wow. On a Halloween week party, you managed to meet and interact with both Jack and Sally and the Seven Dwarves.
Yes, so this was a success.
Very much so. Nice work.
Nothing else happened. It was a success. The only other things on our list after that were seeing the parade, and we had plans to maybe catch the last stage show for the Hocus Pocus.
Right.
Show. Those were the only two things that we really had left, and getting some souvenirs, and that was it. So after meeting the Seven Dwarves, we headed back around. We got a great spot for the fireworks. We saw Celebrate the Magic from right in front. We were basically just to the right of Walt and Mickey, the partner statue, and right up against the railing, so nobody would be in front of us.
Cool.
And we were able to, so we watched Celebrate the Magic from there, and then I went off in search of popcorn in the popcorn bucket. That's when I found that it wasn't around after checking, three popcorn carts. I came back, we watched fireworks, which were amazing. They totally lived up to the hype, and so much better to see it.
Yeah, I love that show. That's still my favorite. I mean, the only one that's close is the Star Wars show at Hollywood Studios. I'm not sure now, because they've changed the show again since I last saw it at the studios. But Hallowishes, as far as I'm concerned, for the Magic Kingdom shows, by far my favorite.
Yeah, it's just awesome. I mean, it's so much of it is in sync with the music, and it's so much more fun than the other shows that I've seen. So I tried to avoid watching it online, but I'd heard a lot about it, and everybody raves and says a lot of people have that opinion that it's the best of all the versions of Wishes, and it really was. And I was able to, with my new phone, I was able to get a 135 degree angle, so video, getting the video of it from that close, I was able to actually get more than just the castle itself.
Oh, cool.
That worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
And from there, it was off to Liberty Square to get a spot for. We just felt fitting to watch the parade from Liberty Square, just for the Headless Horseman.
Sure.
It just seems like he fits that land of the Magic Kingdom the best. So we got a good spot, right at the corner there when you enter Liberty Square from the hub, right before it makes that left, before it splits, either go to Haunted Mansion or make the left towards Frontierland. We got spot right there, so he'd be coming right at us and turn. And had I known that he stops before each land, I may have tried to position myself better. I saw that when he, so after going by us, he stopped right before the hub, and he lingered there for a while. Would have been better pictures if I did that. But the parade again, the fireworks, just was awesome. I mean, a lot of the characters were going all out. They were really,
you've got to think the performers are well rested now, right? Because they're not doing a nightly parade.
Yeah, I think, and there were just, you know, certain parts of it, you know, they have a little, those little extras, like when they have the grave diggers come and they kind of surprise you when they drop their shovels onto the ground.
Yeah, and the sparks as they spin.
And they get the sparks as they're spinning, and then I think the favorite float was the skeleton band. They were really into it and playing that the song for the villains as they were coming up. And you got a lot of characters come right up to you and get right, you know, like really, you know, seem to be playing their parts well and just, you know, really getting into it. And it was just a lot of fun.
Very cool.
So we decided, like, right there, we just felt extra guilty about not bringing the kids. I'm like, I think we're going to have to come back.
Now, see, now you've tested it all out. And so you can bring the kids back and do it right with the kids because, frankly, you know, the Halloween parade or the Halloween party done right with the kids may not be the same as the Halloween party done right with just the adults.
True, because their priorities are going to be mostly the trick-or-treating.
Right, I mean, candy and short ride lines.
Yeah, and they're not going to wait 2 hours, you know, to meet Jack and Sally, unless they really, really want to meet Jack and Sally. And if it might be one of those things where one of us gets on the line and the other one takes them to go trick-or-treating or something and then comes back and meets us, you know, depending on how the line is structured.
Right, right.
You know, might have to do it like a little differently with the kids, but I think the kids would love it. And I'm going to totally have to, you know, figure out some way of getting back probably next year without, you know, with Lisa being a teacher, it's hard to get time off. But we managed to get time off for this weekend, so it'll just be another weekend trip. We'll work it out.
Sure.
And then the last thing we did was go around and just hit more of the trick-or-treating spots. Just to fill out our bags. That was like our consolation prize for the kids was us coming home with little bags of candy.
Nice.
For them. So we just went around. We went, we hadn't been through Frontierland or Adventureland at all. So we went down that way and got a couple of the treat stations, which are all nicely like marked with these, you know, inflatable pylons that are like, you know, like probably like 10 feet tall and say treat, you know, you say trick or treat, or it just says treats on them, so you know where the trick or treat stations are. So we hit one by, you know, the Tom Sawyer Island Raft, and then we went. There was one down by Splash Mountain, but my wife said no because she thought I was just trying to trick her into getting on Splash Mountain. Because I tried to do that once, where I was just like, "Hey, yeah, we'll just go down here. There's something down here I want you to see." And you know, like next thing you know, we're on the line for Splash Mountain, and she's like running away from me.
Yeah, you only get to do that once.
Yeah, that didn't work out that time, so I wasn't going to try it again. And we made our way, you know, back through Adventureland, where we got to trick-or-treat outside Pirates of the Caribbean. And then we were in Adventureland, and we saw the treat pylon, and we were like, oh, there's one right over here. Let's hit that one. And it's outside the Tiki Room. And so we're, like, looking, and we're like, oh, wait, that's the Tiki Room, but I don't see people going anywhere else, so let's go. So we went inside the line for the Tiki Room, but we didn't see people coming out of the line. Like when we went on Pirates, you went down the queue a little bit and then you made a turn, you came back out, you got your treats on the way out. You didn't actually go on the ride.
Oh, okay.
But for the Tiki Room, we went right up to the door and they had the doors open and they were giving out treats outside the door, but then you went through the Tiki Room and they were giving out more on the inside.
Oh, nice. Now, see, I haven't experienced that one. That's new.
And that was like, I was like, this is awesome. I was like, we're trick-or-treating inside the Tiki Room, and it's not just, like, dark. It's like, you know, all the lights are on with on the birds, all the spotlights on the birds, and they're all, you know, singing and doing their thing. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, they weren't actually doing the show, but they're all, you know, alive and well, and it just made for, like, a really cool atmosphere, you know, to be trick-or-treating inside the Tiki Room.
Uh-huh.
And then, and that was it. That was like how we ended our night. We just decided that, like, after a long day, with, you know, being up early for the conference and having another early morning the next day with more conference stuff, we just, you know, we're like, you know, we could stay and watch the show and then do the shopping and everything and get out, or we can just do the shopping and leave. So we went and grabbed a couple souvenirs and just headed back to the Contemporary, which was, you know, thankfully just a short walk away.
Yeah, that's always one of the nice things about staying at the Contemporary on a, you know, when you're coming to a holiday party, right? Is you can get back without having to wait for the ferry.
Yeah, you know, like, and there was a couple times that, you know, where we were coming back from Epcot and, you know, we were like, you know, trying to figure out how to get back, or we were at the Animal Kingdom, we were trying to figure out how to get back, and we were like, oh, we can just take the bus right to the front of the Magic Kingdom and then walk over.
Yeah.
And that worked out on a few occasions, you know, where we're just like, hey, you know, just all we got to do is get to the front of the Magic Kingdom and walk.
Oh, right.
Back over to the hotel.
Yeah, that I had forgot about that extra little bonus, right, is that you can always get back to your resort via the Magic Kingdom.
That worked out. And we had stayed at Bay Lake Tower for like two nights once way back in 2012. And this was our first time, even though we've been in the Contemporary many times. This is our first time actually staying at the Contemporary.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get to stay in the big A frame building, which right. would have been cool. You know, I think it was because we were part of the conference
yeah,
room.
Yeah, they booked you in the garden wing.
In the garden wing. But we did have a really cool room in the garden wing. We were in all the way in the back corner. So, and the room was, these are really big rooms too. And it has two windows. It had one that faced Bay Lake, and then it had another, since we're on the corner, the other one looked out on the canal.
Oh, cool.
Between Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon. So, like, we kept calling it the water pageant view.
That is a great view. And I don't know that I would even know it existed without that explanation.
And we're like, yeah, like, you know, it could happen that if we find ourselves in our room when the water pageant's going on, that we could see it, you know, come right by the room. Because we were seeing also, it's one thing, it's like you get up in the morning and you're trying to get dressed, and if the window's open and you're like, oh, wait, there's a launch going by.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's boats constantly going by. And you're like, all right, well, maybe we'll keep the, you know, I don't think during the day they could see anything with the glare off the window and stuff. But
right, right.
So you just had to be mindful of that. But yeah, and unfortunately, though, we never got to see, we did see the water pageant twice, but we never saw it from the room. We saw it one night after we saw Hollowishes from the little terrace, fourth floor overlook from the Contemporary. We went down to the bridge between Bay Lake Tower and the Contemporary, and we watched the water pageant out on Bay Lake from there. And then there was another night that it was going on out in the Seven Seas Lagoon, and we were able to see part of it just as we were heading back to the hotel. As it goes by, we did notice that as it goes by that room, the view you would get, it's all lit up. It's only on the flag and the stars.
Oh, okay.
Because they keep it on that. I guess when it ends on that in Bay Lake, and as they take it back into Seven Seas Lagoon, that's what it stays lit up with those on that scene until they get into Seven Seas Lagoon when they shut it off and reset.
Huh.
The next show.
Never knew that.
So that would have been our view had we, you know, been in the room. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. They had a little patio too that we could have sat on with that view facing the canal. But unfortunately, the one downside was there was a lot of bugs. Oh. They weren't mosquitoes, but they were the first night we were there. Like, you know, they were like, oh, we get this great view. And we went to open the door. And this is during the day, and we're like, whoa, we saw them all flying around, and then we noticed that there, like, there was like a cement beam that was over the patio, and it was just like, it was covered.
Yikes.
With these bugs. And then, like, we came back the first night, and they were actually in the hallway where we entered, which wasn't by our room. Our room was at the other end of the hall. But when you first came in the door, just from people coming in out of the door, the bugs were getting in.
Right.
And like the whole, like, first maybe 10 feet of the hallway, the walls were just covered with them, but, you know, they weren't coming after you or biting you or anything. So
right, they're just annoying.
Yeah, I think someone called them midges. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what a midge is, but that's what somebody else referred to right. them as. So
little annoying non-biting bugs.
Yeah, so it was just, and then like then the next morning you would just see like something, a pile of something in the, you know, outside the door. You're like, I guess they came and like fogged them or something.
Oh. Yikes.
Yeah, because this is
that's
a pile
almost grosser
of,
than seeing all the bugs.
Yeah. As you're going off to breakfast, you're like, oh, there's a pile of what I guess was the bugs from last night.
All right, well, that wouldn't have been my first choice.
No, I mean, it was one downside, and it's a little far from the main building. Yeah, but we're, as DVC people, we're kind of used to being
used to the long hallways.
Yeah, down the end of a hallway somewhere.
All right. Now, you did have a couple of other first time, or at least one other, you know, major first time experience, and that was that you had your first opportunity to get into the Animal Kingdom during the sort of nighttime hours. And we still don't have a Rivers of Light show running yet, but, you know, we did have some new nighttime experiences there that you went to check out.
Yeah, we were able to snag, this wasn't planned in advance, and at the last minute we were able to snag a fast pass for the nighttime safari. And so we were very, you know, thrilled about that. And so we got over there, and we had made arrangements with somebody else from the conference who said they were going over there. We're like, oh, we'll meet you there after the conference ended around 7 o'clock. And, you know, the park was closing at 8. So we got there. And we were waiting and to meet up with them, and it was still daylight out, and it was still pretty bright. And so I was like, "Hey, we're not really gonna get the full nighttime experience." But thankfully, you know, our friends never showed up, and we waited about a half hour, and so now it got dark, and we're getting a twilight feel, and we're like, "All right, like so, let's head on." So we headed on, and you know, so when we actually got on the ride, it was pretty dark. It wasn't fully dark, but it was pretty dark, and it was a good experience. It was I was afraid that in the darkness you wouldn't be able to see much, but we had a lot of luck, because it's always hit or miss with the safari whether you're going to see animals or not. But we saw right off the bat, we saw, like, you know, there was the okapis off in the back, so we were still able to see them at night. Then a rhino walked by. And then we saw a few other animals that were right by that, you know, that came right, you know, up close to the truck. So it was really, you know, we were having a good time, and they alter the path a little bit.
Interesting.
I think at one point they adjusted because they got to take you by the hyena.
Oh, right, because they do have a couple of sort of different areas that they've brought in animals that are particularly active in the evening, you know, to really sort of play up the nighttime safari piece.
Yeah, so I got the impression it felt like they were taking us and they veered off to the usual daytime route to kind of go closer to the hyena pen, because I remember, like, you know, you come by the elephants, there's that part where you come by and they usually would tell you about the elephant tusks being used to make the marks in the clay, and then you would come around and you see the elephants. We never did that part. We did see an elephant at one point in time, but we never saw, you know, that we never went through that little.
Right. I don't think that they go through that area at all at night. And I don't remember exactly why. I think it's a combination of the fact that they move a little slower at night anyway, just for safety reasons. And because they route you around a little differently, too, to make sure that you see, you know, the animals that they brought in specifically for nighttime viewing.
Yeah, so it was a little different, but I think the biggest difference to it is just felt so more relaxing. And I think maybe it had to do with the fact that we were going a little slower, so it was a little less jarring.
Sure.
And then the nighttime atmosphere with the music that they play as you're driving around, it's just like you just wanted to take a nap or something. but at the same time, you didn't want to take a nap. You were just very relaxed and just like, and we saw a lot of animals. And then the big ticket is, you know, the lions, because the lions are always asleep during the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the male lion was up and standing up, and he even, like, gave us a little bit of a roar.
Wow.
And the lionesses were up and about, and, like, he couldn't get a picture of it. It was just too dark for pictures, and they never stopped the truck. If they had stopped the truck, I might have had a shot of something that I could have, like, you know, boosted somehow later on and brought out some details. But if they don't stop, it's just, you know, my phone wasn't good enough.
Right.
But it was, yeah, but, you know, and so so I'd say I give a big thumbs up to the nighttime safari, you know, at least based on my experience, it was worth waiting until the end of the day to get on that.
Well, that's great. Now, did you get a chance to do anything else with Animal Kingdom in the evening? And, you know, I'd be interested to hear your impression of Animal Kingdom at night, sort of overall. I mean, I know that a lot of people have spoken really highly of it. I've always wondered, you know, people complain sometimes that really great theming that goes all the way down to the pavement also makes Animal Kingdom the park that people tend to stumble in a lot. because of that. And I was curious as to whether that would be worse at night.
I have to say that night it didn't seem so bad walking around, although I do see that as a valid concern based on my previous experience with the Animal Kingdom at night, which was running through it.
Right.
As part of the wine and dine half marathon. So yeah, it definitely does present some hazards when it's dark, because you know they just don't, for the ambiance and everything, they don't light it very well. First of all, it's not meant to be lit so you can see every little detail on the ground, and then it's just very, it's got a lot of inclines and declines and a lot of bumps, the occasional like tree root or something that you might, if you're too close to the side of the path, things of that nature. Yeah, so I can definitely see that. I didn't get to do any other attractions. We just didn't have enough time.
Right. Especially since you spent some time sitting there waiting for somebody else to show up.
Yeah. I mean, maybe had we like gone on right away and got off, we might have had some time to kill. We were hungry because we skipped dinner to go out to get over to the Animal Kingdom. So we were like, oh, like what are we going to do to eat? And it turns out like Flame Tree and Pizza Safari had both closed. Tiffin's was open, but we were like, I don't know.
not sure you wanted to pay for Tiffin's, huh?
Yeah, we weren't. Well, I don't think it was the money, more or less, than just the fact that we were on our way back to go see the Tree of Life show, the Tree of Life Awakenings. I hadn't seen that yet, so I wanted to catch some of that. And then we were passing by Tiffin's and we saw it. We were like, yeah, but if we stay, then the park's closed, and I don't know how long we're gonna be in there, and I don't know how long the bus is gonna run, on the outside. So we were there was some logistics to that that we just didn't want to bother
right
with Tiffin's, but we looked and they weren't accepting reservations through the app since the park had closed or was closing soon. There was nothing coming up on that. But Boma came up and it was right over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. So we're like, hey, let's grab the reservation from Boma and we'll head over there. It was like, kind of like someplace we had been before. We knew it was safe. It got us out of the park and over there. And we knew since the Magic Kingdom was open later, we'd be able to get a bus from there. So, we didn't get to go. I wanted to do Everest at night. I'll have to save that for another time. My wife's favorite ride is Collie River Rapids. And she did that at night when she went on her girls trip in the summer. And she said it scared her. She said it was a whole different experience in the dark.
Much scarier when you can't see where you're going.
Yeah. When the drop happens and all those, and you're going through the turns and going up and down and like, it's just, there's no light. You don't know where you are. So it made it more of a thrill ride, and she's not a big thrill ride person.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how that worked. I thought it was one show that just kind of repeated itself.
Right.
But it turns out it's like
I was kind of under that impression as well. So that's not how it works.
It's several different shows that run like every 10 minutes.
Huh.
And like when we first, so we walked up and like, the music was going and we could see some of the lights, and it kind of had this, like, we caught like a little finale of that particular story. And it went off and people left and we were like, all right, let's go up. And I'm like, how long is it going to take to get, for the next one to start? She's like, oh, it's a few minutes, because she had seen it on her last visit. And so we got into, got a good spot. We were waiting. And then the Hollywood Studios fireworks were going off. So I think they waited purposely. And we had more, for that to end before they ran the next one.
Right.
And so the next one came up, and it was just this, it starts off and while you're waiting in between, you could hear people were just gasping as they looked at the tree, because they're projecting onto the tree the whole time, and the different animal sculptures on the tree would move slightly.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The tail would flick, or the leg would move, or, they'd open their mouths and close their mouths, and it looks really cool. Because you can't, when that's happening, you don't see the sculpture underneath. So it looks realistic. And so people were just like, oh, check that out. And then the show would start, and it would start off, and each, we saw like two or three of them, and they were just like, each was a different story, like featuring a different animal.
Huh.
And instead of just being one whole big show, it was like, each one was different. I don't know how many they have in total, but we saw three.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So what was your impression overall of Animal Kingdom at Night?
I liked it. I look forward to going back and doing it again. I think the safari is a better experience at night. I think the Tree of Life show is something, you know, that you should see. You know, and I think it's really cool how they do it instead of trying to cram everybody, because the only one spot you can view it from is dead on from when you first walked into the park.
Oh, okay.
You know, that front view. And so there's no way everybody in the park is going to gather like you would gather for Wishes or another show and be able to view it all at the same time.
Okay.
So, you know, it allows you to take turns with other people.
Right, right, because they're going to repeat it anyway.
Yeah, so it's probably two, you know, we saw three and they were all driven. That might have been the max. It might be 3 10-minute shows for like a half hour and then repeat a few times based on when they start. So that was interesting, and it's a good use of the projection technology. I thought it was really cool how they matched. It wasn't just a show like that kind of just placed itself on the tree. It's like, you know, even in between the shows, how each animal would start off at its spot on the Tree of Life and then kind of come to life and then return to that spot.
So emerging from its spot.
Yeah. And then it would end up at its spot to end. So that was really well done. And I look forward to getting back another time and trying out Everest, which is one of my favorite rides at night. I think that'd be really awesome.
Well, now let me ask you what I think is sort of the $60,000 question about Animal Kingdom at night and specifically the safari at night. So you've talked about how much you think that, you know, the safari is a great experience, and maybe a better experience even at night than it is during the day. Does that now change what your fast pass strategy would be for Animal Kingdom? I mean, is it now something that you really, you know, aren't going to worry about getting that early fast pass for the safari? Because, you know, you'd just as soon ride it at night instead.
Yeah, I think that's valid. I think I would definitely consider on my next visit when I'm making my fast passes, I think I would save that fast pass, you know, for Kali around sunset, so I can get on and have that darkness, and maybe not complete darkness, try to catch it right at that magic hour, kind of, as they say, like when it's like twilight. I think that would be like the perfect, you know, Kilimanjaro. Did I say Kali before?
Yeah, Kali. So Kilimanjaro. So you mean the roller coaster as opposed to the water ride?
I meant the safari. That's what I meant to say. I just had just like misspoke for a moment. I think one podcast, my wife pointed out afterwards that I said, like, I meant to say that we ate at the Yak and Yeti, but I said Tusker House.
Oh.
And I was like, and I didn't even realize it. And she's like, you know, you said Tusker House. We didn't eat at Tusker House. And I'm like, we didn't. I was like, we ate at Yak and Yeti. She's like, yeah.
That's what I said.
She's like, no, you said Tusker. And I never listened to the podcast afterwards because I'm on it.
You've heard it once. You talked through it.
So I just did it again. So, no, not Kali. So the safari, Kilimanjaro safari. So I think, you know, saving that, you know, that would be, I think I would save a fast pass to try to hit that right around twilight. I think that would be my plan. I think that would allow you to get up and get to the park a little later, because before that, the ideal time to get on Kilimanjaro safaris would have been first thing in the morning.
Right.
Before it got too hot, before, you know, and while the animals might, you know, that would be when they would have been most active. And this allows you to maybe get there and linger if you're doing breakfast at Tusker House or another restaurant, like actually like sit there and enjoy it and not feel like you have to rush.
Sure.
To make that fast pass. So I think it definitely changes the strategy. I think, you know, Kali is one of our must-dos. So I think that stays in the afternoon, like at the, you know, at the peak, peak heat time where you want to, like, you know, get, you know, cool off.
You want to be in Kali so you can cool off as opposed to
being
tortured by being wet all day.
Yeah. So I think definitely. And then we always usually save that third one for one of the shows.
Okay.
You know, either Festival of the Lion King or Finding Nemo. That's usually how we do our fast passes. And I think, you know, it just shifts it from first thing in the morning for the safari to saving it, you know, for the night, and then frees up some of the morning to do, you know, breakfast or do something else.
All right. So That's the biggest things for the park. Now, you did get a little bit extra park time in at the Magic Kingdom, one other sort of partial day in the Magic Kingdom. Anything stand out in particular about that day?
It was just a lot of classic stuff, taking it easy before we had to get on the Magical Express to go home. We hit some of our favorites, you know, riding Dumbo, Winnie the Pooh, seeing the Halloween decorations during the daytime.
Oh, right.
There was another Halloween party that night, and it was like, I remember when we were walking into the park in our costumes and seeing all the people coming out, we got the opposite experience when we were leaving, as we were walking out and seeing everybody coming in their costumes. And we even saw people in their costumes like first thing in the morning when we got to the park. And I remember thinking like, well, you're not allowed to wear a costume. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, oh, there's a party tonight.
Yeah.
So if
yeah,
there's a party, you can wear a costume that day. And I don't know, I would assume that they don't check to see if you have a party ticket when you show up in costume.
Yeah, they don't really. It's sort of a minor, I guess, minor exception to the rules. I think they only do it because, you know, it's just a few nights a year, basically, where people end up, coming to the park. And you've got folks who are party ticket holders who, you know, spend all day. So
yeah,
they just go back to the front to get their wristbands at, you know, 3:30 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so that was, you know, that was interesting. I was like, I guess, you know, if you got costumes and stuff and you're there around Halloween and you know there's a party and you're not going to it, you could still wear your costume to the park.
Right.
And just, you know, take advantage of that little, you know, loophole and do something that you can't normally do, as an adult at least.
Right.
But otherwise, it was just a relaxing day at the Magic Kingdom. It wasn't anything new. Went live, you know, played with Facebook Live a couple times on a couple attractions, you know, did some classics, hit Carousel Progress, which is, you know, something that, you know, my kids actually liked it the one time we dragged them on. They had no idea what it was, but going back on it, was like, you know, I think it's my wife who doesn't like it that much, but we met up with some friends and they're like, yeah. And then they made us. Yeah, we met up with some other, you know, people from the conference and somebody who hadn't been at the conference who's just a local showed up and wanted to meet us all. And so we met up and we had this group of people and she's like, oh, we have to go get a picture at the Purple Wall. And I think, and we're all like pretty Disney knowledgeable and we all looked at her and went, Purple Wall? And she's like, yeah, it's the wall in Tomorrowland. It's like right when you're going over the bridge into Tomorrowland and it goes to the, like the old Tomorrowland Terrace and Noodle Station that just has that wall. And there's nothing there but that walkway between the old restaurant and Tomorrowland, and it's just purple.
Okay.
And apparently, it's a social media thing, and you hashtag it Purple Wall, and you got people taking all sorts of silly pictures.
Good to remember.
Just with the purple wall in the background. So
we learn something every day.
It's a trendy thing to do, apparently. So, and we did it. I don't have the picture on my camera, but it was shared out there by some of the other people who actually took the picture. We tried to do something silly, and I made a joke when they were like, oh, up against the wall. So immediately my feeling is I got to have my hands up against the wall and my legs spread.
Right.
You know, somebody says up against the wall, that's what you do. And so that was, you know, so they got the whole group to do that. So that was like the silly version of the picture.
Right.
So that was, so other than that, and we upgraded our passes, our tickets to annual passes on the way out, which was fun because we're up against the gun trying to get to our bus. And we were like, oh, plenty of time. You know, it's like 4 o'clock and we're headed back to the front and we're thinking, oh, we got plenty of time to get, you know, get the guest services and we'll stop at the hit the store. We got to get a couple souvenirs for for the kids because we've, you know, more guilt set in. And I get to guest services and you got all the people who have been in the park all day, who need their wristbands, are there. Plus, you've got other people who are there for other, you know, legitimate, you know, questions and stuff. Right, and so, thankfully, I had two lines, and people were able to figure out, like, yeah, if you need a wristband, you just need to be on that line. And it moved pretty quick. But even then, we had an issue because once they processed everything, because we had discounted tickets, and there was a question about whether.
The magic, whether they get bridged.
Yeah, and will we get the, you know, and then, you know, because, and the guy looked and he saw our tickets were discounted. He was like, oh, where'd you get these tickets from? You got a good deal. And we were like, oh, we got it, you know, from Southwest Vacations or whatever. And he's like, oh, a travel agency. Okay. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and, convert these to the gate price. Otherwise you're going to pay more money. And we're like, great.
Yeah. That was nice.
Like, you're our favorite cast member. So he was able to do that. And then there was like it got down to the point where all we had to do was pay. And they swiped a credit card and it didn't go through.
Oh, no.
And he sees the screen. He's like, I've never seen this before. And we're like, whoa.
Those are the famous last words. I've never seen this before.
Never good.
No.
And so then we tried another credit card and the same thing happened. And another supervisor comes over and like, oh, we're going to call the bank. And we're like, I'm looking at my bank account. I'm like, plenty of money in there. We tried two credit cards. Like, this doesn't seem to be going through. They moved us to another computer and it still happened. And then like a few minutes later, they finally come back and they're like, oh, we do this and this and this and swipe again. And a receipt pops out and we're like, yes. And then he goes and gets our cards and we finish up the whole thing. And we look at our watches and it's like, oh, we have just enough time. It was like 4:40 and our bus was at 5. So 20 minutes to walk over. So it worked out.
But you cut it close.
Yeah, but we ended up cutting it close. I think because we had everything planned. Like the one, we didn't get to see the Muppets.
The new Muppet show.
We missed it. We were walking. We walked right past it, and we went to get some frozen lemonades in Frontierland. And as we were enjoying them, I heard it sounded like chanting. I'm like, is there a protest going on over in the square? Like, what is that noise? And then I recognize the voice of like Gonzo, and I'm like, oh, I'm like the Muppets, and I'm like totally totally blanked on that when we got there. I was like, that was one of the things I wanted to see, and so we looked at quickly pulled up the schedule, saw that there was another one. It was one at 2:20 and one at 4:40. That was like the next two. And then I think 4:40 is the last one. I guess they don't do it at night. And then we met up with all our, friends. It was around 2:00 and we were like the first couple we joined up with and we were waiting on the others. And I'm sitting there looking at my, phone and looking at the time. I'm like, it's almost 2:20. So we got to get over there. And my wife's just like, settle down. It's like, we're waiting on people. And I'm like, they're not going to get here in time. It's like, we need a couple of minutes to get there. And eventually just had to say, you know what, I'll be back. We missed it, but I'll be back. Yeah. Cause then people showed up and we were just like, everybody saying hello and talking and people who hadn't met,
and then somebody goes, and all of a sudden everything you plan to do is already gone.
And somebody was like, where are we going to go? You guys just said something about the Muppets. And I look at them, it's like 2:30 and I'm like, it's done. That's over.
Yep. Missed that.
Yeah, and 4:40 wasn't going to allow us to hit our bus, so we did the Purple Wall instead in Carousel Progress. So okay. It was still good, still a nice relaxing day. And I think the only thing we didn't talk about was I did get over to Food and Wine for a little while, and that was good. But the macaroni and cheese with the pepper bacon,
was probably that the does best sound thing.
Good. It's probably the best thing I ate. There was a beef skewer. The show on ABC, they had a booth.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is, I think, the second year that they've had that booth.
Yeah. So at their booth, the beef skewer was really good. Did hit Canada and got the filet and the cheddar cheese soup, but it's not the same experience as getting it at Le Cellier. My filet was a tale of two halves. Like the first half was really dry and too well done, and then the second half got better.
Okay.
It was like, I think it was just the way it was positioned, sitting there under the lamp or something.
In the warming tray.
Yeah. So it was. But hey, meat is meat. Meat is good. And yeah, so those were good. And then we did that during the day. Went back for conference stuff. Met up with when I met Lou. And then we went back at night just to hang out. Had a few more dishes. Nothing really that stood out. Shrimp. This was a shrimp dish from China, which is okay. And I had like the Parmesan, the pasta and chicken Parmesan dish from Italy. And it was all right. It wasn't, outoutstanding, but it was all right. And we watched Billy Ocean at the Eat to the Beat Eat to the Beat concert, and he was surprisingly entertaining. Okay. I have to say, yeah, you know, he's very spry for an older gentleman.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not a young man.
No, but he was doing his thing, and a lot of people were getting into it, and it made for a fun way to close out the evening.
Very nice. All right. Well, so we're down to our end of show review pieces that we always do. So I'll ask again, looking back, you know, a few years down the road, when you think about this adults only trip for the Type A conference, what's going to be the thing that comes to mind when you think about this trip?
Definitely Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Just being able to do that, finally scratching that one off the bucket list, and it just, the whole experience was outstanding. I would definitely recommend it. If you're going to be there long enough where you might be able to do it twice, I'd say it's probably worth it.
Wow. So you'd actually double up.
I think if I was there long enough, or if it, like on a weekend where they had two parties going on, I think I might double up just so I can get, you know, all the character experiences. Because, like, I still missed, you know, like we saw the rare ones. We saw, you know, Seven Dwarves and we saw the, you know, Jack and Sally. Those are the, you know, two ones that have the longest wait and everything. But there's a lot of other characters and something. They all get dressed up too, from what I understand. So
yeah, the characters wear their Halloween costumes.
Yeah, so getting the rest of them, I think, would be good. And I don't think you could ever see Hallowishes or the Buddha You Parade too many times.
Yeah.
So I think you know, spending more than one night at the Halloween party would be pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, James, thanks so much for, you know, coming back and sharing another trip report with us. We always learn a little something new. Before we go, remind people again, you know, you've rebranded your site. Still lots of great information there. How do people find it?
We are adventuresinfamilyhood.com. We are Adventures in Familyhood on Instagram. We shorten it on Twitter to ADV in Familyhood. So that's where you can find us. We're also on Facebook/Adventures in Familyhood.
All right. Sounds great. Looking forward to hearing about the next one, too.
Great. Thank you.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. Spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal. Imagination.